yesterday, a deal between the Department of Health, the HSE and the Irish Pharmacy Union to reform phased dispensing arrangements alongside introduction of a new patient-centred medicines optimisation support framework. With me on the line to talk about this, we've got pharmacist Jack Shanahan of Haven Pharmacy, Shanahan Castle Island. Jack, good morning to you and thanks for joining me on the programme. I'm almost afraid to ask the question, has this sorted this problem out or is there a way to go with it?
I suppose the first thing is, good morning, Gerry, and good morning, everybody. And I think this has gone a long way to solving one particular thorn on the rosebush, as they'd say. It has. And as usual, these things go down to the wire. There was a lot of intensive negotiation going on in the last week, as I understand it. And I think the end result is pretty much what every normal thinking pharmacist and normal individual would have thought would come out, which was something that would actually help vulnerable people and people that need extra supports in their prescription services. So yeah, it is a good news story in that sense. Yeah, I think we're happy that the Department of Health and the Minister have brought this to the table and that it's something that can be delivered and rolled out for people. Now, like a lot of things, it's not straightforward.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the kind of the press release from the Department of Health.
They had quite a long one. There's a key difference. People have an idea that everyone gets blister packs and that's the way it's. They're the pre-organised packs, but there's a thing called phased dispensing as well, Jack, and that's smaller scheduled amounts, weekly or daily pickup for people.
Yeah, and there are situations where people need to have kind of more frequent collection points. It might be where somebody has an issue, we say cognitive issue or whatever, where they really can't manage their own medications correctly, so they need to have somebody kind of, I suppose, making sure that they don't get too many medications, and equally that keeping an eye to make sure that they are actually taking what we're hoping they're taking. And you may have, I suppose the classic one would be methadone, where people might be coming in for daily dosing. There are people that require very high supports. Those would be what we would call phased dispensing then. That means that they kind of come in on phases. It could be a daily phase, it could be a weekly or kind of two weekly or whatever it happens to be. And then the blister pack is a completely separate entity, but has got confused along the way with phase dispensing. And the reason it got confused is because the Department of Health has never paid for blister packing in any form, shape, or description.
Yeah.
And the reason they don't pay for it is because they quote international studies that there really isn't evidence that blister packs are necessarily the right way to support patients, and that sometimes they introduce extra risks that need to be managed. And so from that point of view, they have never supported that. Now, what has happened over the years is that sometimes people would get they would collect their blister pack maybe on a weekly basis, and that the pharmacist would use the kind of, an informal system whereby the phase dispensing was sponsoring the blister packing.
Yeah.
But, they're two separate issues. And, that would be the exception rather than the rule, because, generally speaking, from everybody's point of view, you like to keep things straight and, up front, and you don't want to be confusing things. Yeah. So from that point of view, but I think what obviously the major panic that happened then earlier on this year was when the department suddenly said that they were going to do away with all phase dispensing. And that automatically then meant that kind of, grey area where the phase dispensing was effectively subsidising blister packs was going to disappear. And that could mean that a lot of people would incur charges that weren't actually paying them up to now. That's what the agreement yesterday has done now, is it has solved that problem. And it has brought in funding for... I suppose one thing, from a pharmacist's point of view, I hate to use a strong word like hate, but we actually hate blister packs because they are really labour intensive. they're frequently subject to change. They're taking medicines out of their original packaging and putting it into other packaging, where sometimes the stability of the medicine might be affected and things like that. So, we would always prefer not to list or pack and to provide all the supports where possible. But that's not always possible. And I suppose the classic one that we're seeing nowadays is people that would have home support services put in place, you know, home helps coming in, things like that, where, you know, they're basically independent living. They're not in an assisted living facility or anything like that. And one of the ways that can be helped is by making sure that they take their medication. Most home help services won't actually allow their workers to give medicines to patients, but what they can do is supervise the patient taking the medicines
for themselves
and for them, exactly, so that, you know, it's a kind of a workaround, but it's certainly one that works, and it allows people to live at home independently that otherwise wouldn't be able to do so.
Yeah. No, Jack, the system, I suppose, is being made more flexible. There's funding going towards it. The idea is to try and help pharmacists and help people take the proper medication and help pharmacists use their judgment and try and reduce the administrative burden. Because what you want is, you know, the system in place where you have medication reminder charts for people, easy open packaging, large print, you know, medication alarms, all those sort of things to make sure that mistakes don't happen and that people know and can keep track of their what medicine they need to be taking at what time.
Absolutely. And that's perhaps the biggest change, and it won't really be visible, I'd say, initially, but as time goes on, it should be a lot more obvious, the kind of the extra helps that pharmacies can provide for patients to help them to take their medicines correctly at the right time. Compliance is a great word, but it really means, you know, that people are taking the medicines that will give them the best results. And and anything that helps that is a good thing, and that's what pharmacists do every day. I mean, that's our job, is, you know, I mean, we're medicines experts in every sense of the word, and part of it is knowing how medicines work, but equally, just as important is communicating with people, you know, in relation to what to expect and how to manage their medicines. And so as I say, it's providing funding for people, and like a lot of things, I suppose the major risk obviously is the people with the least resources are the ones that are often most at risk, you know, so that anything that provides funding to help that is always a good thing.
And this will allow, let's say, if you were receiving a blister pack, let's say as directed by your GP or whatever, that will continue in this
Absolutely.
Way. You won't be charged for the service. If it's appropriate, again, if it's the best for you.
Yeah, and that's, I suppose, the devil is in the detail in a lot of cases. But, you know, generally speaking, most people that get blister packs, they need them for what, you know, that decision has already been made. Now, I think there was a time there, not at one stage, where people kind of thought they were nearly a trendy thing to get. And you know, there was kind of pressure to deliver more blister packs. And but that has kind of fallen away again, I think, you know, as people realise, you know, there are pluses and minuses. I mean, one of the things that, you know, when we put in maybe, you know, 10 tablets into a blister pack, people lose their sense of autonomy, their sense of being in charge of their own medicines, because most people like to know that they're in charge of what they're doing, and when you put everything into kind of a pack like that, you know, it makes things, you know, people have less control by definition, and it makes things a little bit more vague for patients. And as I was saying at the start, you know, I don't like blister packs. they have a place, but they have a place amongst lots of other things, like compliance aids of one form or another, whether it is, you know, kind of reminder systems, or, you know, just simply administration charts where you kind of tick off what you did and things like that. You know, so there's a whole host of things that we can do to try and make things safer for patients. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
Yeah, Jack, look, that's the good news. I don't want to focus on the bad news, but looking at what's happening in the world right now, we have gone through a period in the last couple of years, kind of ever since Brexit, really, and the war in Ukraine, of logistical problems and deliveries of medicines. Is that still an issue in terms of shortages, or is it likely to get worse if there is further international tensions and ships being stopped anywhere in the world? Not just oil, but cargo as well.
Yeah, it is. It's, to be honest with you, it started long before COVID and it started before Brexit. Medicine shortages are a fact of life in every country in the world now at this stage, and kind of for different reasons in different places. And you're right, anything that affects the supply chain. I mean, we had a situation there for the best part of a year where paracetamol, the vast majority of paracetamol, the raw ingredient itself probably comes from India. And the, you know, India had suddenly during COVID stopped exporting paracetamol because they wanted to keep it for themselves. And the, you know, there was actually an actual paracetamol allocation problem in Ireland. Yeah, drug shortages are a fact of life. Every day we're dealing with them. We're constantly, and it poses, again, if you go back to, you know, helping patients safely navigate their way through their medication journey, is, you know, if we're changing brands, for instance, sometimes, you know, a brand that we would always use suddenly isn't available and we have to change a brand. And, you know, it's very important from a patient's point of view that they know that this new box is actually the same as the old one. And first of all, if you have an overlap of medication, you don't take the two of them together. And, you know, it can cause confusion. But yeah, drug shortages are with us. The whole Hormuz thing is not helping. And I suppose, you know, in a lot of this, it's probably going to be in a few months' time. You know, it could be 6 months or 12 months down the line when we really see the impact of what is happening now. You know, as maybe, you know, stores are used up and the, you know, the supply chain once again gets impacted. So, look, we'll have to wait and see. But, I mean, our job is to try and make sure that, you know, if we can't have X for somebody, we'll surely be able to get Y for somebody.
Yeah.
And that's really where we're at.
That's part of the service. Okay, listen, Jack, we'll leave it here. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us about that and explain it for us this morning.
No problem at all. Thanks, Jerry.
Okay, there you go. There's Jack Shanahan there of Haven Pharmacy, Shanahan's Castle Island, talking about those new arrangements. If you have a view on that, get in touch.